For these Twitter space lobbies, need something more hype. It's a new day. It's an all-time high for Raw. Luna's been pumping. Alliance is going live. We did an OTC with Ophir Dow. It's all going down on Lion Dow Spaces. Llewellyn, thank you for joining me.
I am so excited, and I very much disagree with you. I love the elevator music, so. But yeah, we could get something a little bit better, a little bit peppier.
Yeah, just a bit more upbeat. I do enjoy the elevator music. I'm not sure if people enjoy it as much as I do, but yeah, I think we need some vibes for today. And what a crazy day it's been. We started off this morning with Luna pumping from like 75 or from like 80 cents to $1.50. We saw Bitcoin flying up, touched its all-time high, when then got instantly rejected, with the markets in disarray. And I think we've just about settled down now. I think Luna's somewhere in the 120 range. Raw's like peaked. Oh, we look like we might lose a zero at some point, but we dipped back down to about, I don't know, five zeros and a seven, which is pretty crazy based on where we were a few months ago. And yeah, how's your day been, Llewellyn?
It's so exciting. This has been, I've been glued to screens all day. I woke up and I'm in LA, and it was quite a thing to wake up to and see. So I was assuming that Bitcoin would hit all-time high while I was asleep and I'd get to miss the whole thing. So I'm also perpetually in trying to accumulate, so every bump up fills me with both excitement and dread, so I'm learning to navigate both of those emotions at the same time, so it's been a lot of fun today.
And are you in the Ryan Lyon vault on Ox.fun?
Because oh, 100%.
I think we've just about managed to somehow turn a profit today by everything. So I'm very pleased about that as well.
This is one of my favorite things about Ox, is that I get to completely outsource all of my normally irrational trading ideas to somebody who's better at it than I am. So I can just like write that off, and I give you full permission to lose every cent of it just for the excitement. so I never feel responsible for the money that I am asking you to squander, because it's a pittance, and I'm there for the game. So have fun.
I'm more worried about the $200,000 that's backing me from whoever it is. But I mean, the good thing about that, and the reason I mention it, is I'm running a copy trading vault on Ox.fun, and I've got a 20% commission on profits, and I've committed to giving 50% of that commission to Lion Dow. So the better that does, the more funds we raise for the Lion Dow treasury. So I think we could be in the region of somewhere in the region of a couple hundred thousand ox from profit so far. So fingers crossed that continues to grow.
Ryan, does this change your strategy? Like, because have you found like you are more conservative in your trading and your gambles when other people's money is on the line, or are you just kind of sticking to what you like, your instincts and your knowledge tell you?
Well, I am genuinely trading purely on instinct. I'm not even really looking at charts. I mean, I'm looking at it, but I'm not drawing lines on it. I'm not looking at RSIs. I'm not, you know, looking at Bollinger levels or anything silly. I'm just trading on instinct. And it's a little bit nervy, but I mean, I've been on a hot streak ever since the market started going up over the last 6 months. Like, I don't know what's happened. I've always been a terrible trader.
Bad as Sefi.
Yeah. But I mean, the principles I'm working on are very low leverage. So my leverage is typically between like 1 and 2x. So I'm not risking like liquidation or like very heavy profits unless there's very heavy losses unless there's a big downturn like there is today. I'm taking profits along the way and not chasing pumps either. Mm-hmm. So and that strategy is paying out really well. I think I'm just over 2x leverage at the minute, and I need to go and ramp that down a little bit because I just want to play it safe and try and take profits and do a good job.
Yeah, I think you're doing really well. I think where are you at, like 19% at this point?
I don't know about those percentages. They're a bit all over the place because
yeah.
My personal profits up like 60% over since the vault launched, but it says saying I've got like 20% ROI. So I think it depends on like when people like enter the vault. I can't figure that out exactly, but yeah, hopefully we'll generate some commissions and that'll go to the DAO treasury as another nice income stream. But if there's any more days like today, so we might be struggling. It's been a crazy ride.
I think they're clearly not entirely accurate because there's somebody on here, Oxygen, who is apparently has an ROI of 3.8 million%. So I think that's probably not accurate.
Yeah. I think that's because I don't know what's going on, but all I'm watching is like my daily numbers. We've done like 4 days in a row now of positive P&L. So that's pretty exciting. But anyway, onto like Lion DAO specific stuff. I thought today, well, I was gonna do it before I went to bed last night. I thought, we'll do a Lion DAO town hall tomorrow because it times nicely with the switching on of the Alliance rewards. So the Alliance rewards, we all got really excited last week. I don't think we really, I mean, I didn't really know what was going to happen at the point that the proposal passed. I mean, first and foremost, like the fact that we got that proposal through was unbelievable, and the level of support that we had and the lack of challenge that we had from the community, I think speaks absolute volumes. I was really nervous. I thought we were bringing a big ask to the table for the Terra community to share, you know, albeit a small portion, some of the Lunar staking rewards with us. And I think it's like testament to this community and what we've done over the last basically 12 months now. I saw a lot of positive comments on the governance proposal, some really nice stories from people who saying, you know, I probably would have just walked away from crypto, walked away from Terra altogether if it hadn't been for Lion DAO. And I think Chris Armani read through those and like realized that, okay, you know, maybe like the full value proposition, it isn't there in terms of like give back to the Terra community, but we can see the value that Lion DAO brought over the last 12 months. And yeah, it was really, really like a really pleasant surprise to see so much support there. And obviously we were riding on the coattails of Alliance DAO. I felt like it was the perfect time to do it with Alliance DAO putting their Alliance prop in. And, if we were going to start sort of
having internal alliances. I felt like, you know, Lion Dao really should be at the front of that queue, and obviously the community agreed. So that was like absolutely brilliant, and thank you to everyone who's in here and all the Terra community for their support there. So yeah, we got the proposal passed almost a week ago, a week ago minus an hour. And we didn't know what was going to happen, honestly. I didn't know how long it would take for there to be like a UI for people to stake Camp Raw to the Terra blockchain. I didn't know like if the rewards were going to switch on straight away. I didn't even know if there was going to be like a time between the proposal passing and it being executed. It turned out it was instantly executed, and I don't know if the TFL team had done some work in the background in anticipation, but they instantly had Amp Raw as a stakeable asset within Terra Station web UI, which was really cool to see. And then obviously that was really quickly followed up by Eris as well, who've got their own Alliance staking UI. So there's two places we can go and stake it. And if anyone's wanting to catch up on the Alliance stuff and how to participate, the pinned tweet on our page is a 20-minute video from me just walking through what it is, how to do it, and what your options are. So if you're not sure, go and give that a watch, or you can watch it on YouTube as well. You can watch it in like 1.2, 1.5 speed because I'm a bit of a slow burner, but that's there. And then it turned out that there was a 7-day cooling off period until the rewards get switched on. Which is actually a really sensible mechanism, because when like staking rewards go live on, let's say, an LP or in a new protocol, usually there's that like first few minutes where the first person who puts in their asset into that vault or LP or whatever it is gets like 1,000,000% APR or something crazy. So it gives everyone a week to get their assets staked, decide what they want to do before the rewards start paying out, and that's going to happen in 1 hour and 18 minutes. And our calculations are that the rewards are going to be in the region of 1,000 Luna per day, split between all the people who are staking their Amp Raw. So that's a really, really nice incentive for people who have held the token for a long time. And you know, I think one of the arguments that we made when we put the proposal together was, right, well, let's, you know, one of the good things about giving some rewards to raw holders is that these are the people that have been sticking around on the chain for the last 12, 18 months when, you know, not a lot's been happening. And they're active community participants, so why not, like, you know, make sure we get Luna in, a decent amount of Luna into the hands of these people. So, so yeah, hopefully that's going to happen. The APR is, I think last time I checked, Eris, I'm not up front of my PC right now, but last time I checked, it was about 120% APR. That might actually have gone up a little bit today because the price of Luna's increased. I think it's increased. I think it's increased more than the price of Raw. So that would mean that the APR, yeah, it's increased like three times slightly more than the price of Raw. So I don't know if you've got that in front of you, Llewellyn.
It says 138%.
Nice. Yeah.
That's incredible.
So yeah, and I think where are we? You can maybe tell me as well, like how much Amp Raw is bonded at the minute.
Give me a moment. I will find that out.
We were in the sort of 55 to 60 billion range last time I checked.
It's incredible. Yeah, give me 2 seconds. I will switch over to.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. And then, so a lot of people have obviously taken up that option. I am a little bit worried that it
that a lot of people unstake from the DAO and move their Roar over to AMP Roar and to Alliance Staking. Whilst I think obviously it's a good reward for people, there is, you know, we're kind of like touching on dangerous territory if, say, AMP Roar doubles the amount from where they are right now in terms of like governance. So we want to be careful about putting too much power in the hands of the Eris Vault, and we can probably move on in a little bit to the Eris proposal that's up to migrate AMP Roar liquidity to their new Roar LSD that they're calling more, to try and kind of offset some of that governance risk.
Yeah, can you talk about that? Like, how do we mitigate against governance issues? Because it does look like there's been an understandable and probably personally very profitable unstaking from Enterprise, and obviously that will impact governance. But you know, I'm not suggesting that Eris in any way would, you know, have some kind of would vote against the interests of LionDAO or anything like that. But like, how do we mitigate that and navigate that in the future?
So I think the first thing to say is that Eris have got a quite novel approach to governance, which is they allow the holders of their LSD tokens to participate in governance and what I would describe as leveraged governance. So right now, and they do this with all their AMP token, or certainly a bunch of their AMP tokens that they've got a decent amount of. They do it with Luna, they do it with Whale, they do it with Kajira, and they do it with Roar, where you can. So when you get your Eris LSD, in our case, obviously it's AMP Roar. That's an auto compounding token, so you're getting the benefit of the staking rewards compounding into that token, and then you can basically sort of relock your token within Eris to have leveraged governance power. So you can lock your AMP Roar in Eris for anywhere between 2 weeks and 2 years, and then you can use that to have a leveraged governance vote. So every time there's a proposal on, and this works right now, every time there's a proposal on LionDAO, there's an AMP governance, there's a vote on Eris protocol as well. And those people that have locked their AMP Roar tokens and got voting power can then kind of between them decide how the Eris vault votes. And so I've got a bit locked up, and I think there's a few other people who've got some AMP Roar tokens locked up. So whenever a governance proposal comes, they can go to Eris, they can vote on it, and then the Eris vault basically votes with the majority. It's slightly different for LionDAO because when it comes to other blockchains, because they stake their tokens, their vault tokens, so their Luna, for example, with a bunch of different validators, they can actually split their vote between like yes, abstain, no veto, depending on what the governance power holders decide. But with LionDAO, it's an all or nothing because they just have one wallet that's staking into Enterprise. So I guess like one option for them is that they could split up the vault into a few different vaults so that it's not an all or nothing vote. But I guess the concern is as there's more AMP Roar being created and then being staked to Alliance, they may end up with a very large voting share. I think they're currently at something like 15% voting power, and
So the idea from Philip Eris was that because they've created this more token. So the more token is Alliance staked AMP Raw. So that will compound if you choose to mint that rather than stake your AMP Raw direct to the Terra chain. If you just choose to stake it in that Eris vault, basically what they'll do is they'll take your Lunar rewards. They'll periodically swap those Lunar rewards to more Raw, so that your more token will auto compound with Raw a lot more aggressively, I guess. And their suggestion is that so LionDAO own the majority of the AMP Raw liquidity pool, and their suggestion is that we move the liquidity into a more raw pool instead of an AMP raw pool, and then and move AMP governance to the more token, so people will be able to enjoy both the high APR, but then for those that are interested in governance, they'll also be able to lock that more token in the same way that I just described for AMP raw, and it'll incentivize more people to participate in governance rather than leaving them sidelined from the Alliance rewards and having to lock AMP raw natively. Is there anything there that you got questions on, Llewellyn?
I think I guess my two questions. The first one would be, how does that affect the APR? It would probably go down a little bit, right? But I'm not clear on what the mechanics of that would be. And then the second question that I would have is how or does that affect the lockup period for AMP Raw? And how do those things kind of interact with the decision to move the liquidity to a more
So pool? I think the only negative that I see from Philip's proposal from a external point of view is that it would reduce the APR on Alliance staked Raw. I think Philip worked out that it would reduce it in the region of something like 25 to 30%. So if we're at 130, I think you said 130%. What's 25% of that? So about 30% or something. So it'd bring it from 130 down to 100. So I think that's the only real negative if you were kind of looking at this maybe through as someone who's staking AMP Raw to Alliance. The positives are, as we say, we can move. The positives are that more token becomes liquid, and then you know we think it'd make a really great, collateral token. I think with the pump that we've seen on the raw price today, I think our liquidity on that pool is now over $200,000. So it's actually our biggest pool, although it's obviously just swapping between an LSD and the native token. So it brings liquidity to that pool, and we think that you know a token with 100% or maybe 150% APY versus a token with like 7% APY makes a really like great collateral token, especially that APY is not coming from inflationary rewards. It'd be coming from majority of buyback rewards. And I think Philip's calculations were that it had put something like 85k of buy pressure onto Raw per year just by staking our 15 billion tokens from one side of that liquidity pool. And then as we said, as you said, it then also enables us to move AMP governance over to that token, which will help protect against any potential governance attacks. I think the worry for me is we just need to watch. We just need to watch like how much raw goes into the
into the Eris vault. If it exceeds my stake, my personal stake that I've got, the 100 billion tokens that I've had staked since day one of the DAO, then that puts it in a really concerning place, because whilst I think people will lock up more to have leveraged governance power, it still might be like relatively cheap to buy up enough governance power to manipulate that vote. So I think we need to keep an eye on that, and like just kind of keep touching base with Eris in terms of like, you know, if it does come to that kind of situation that maybe they temporarily pause AMP governance, or they move, as I said, to maybe like a multi-wallet state situation, so that it's not an all or nothing. It's not an all or nothing vote for the tokens in their vault. But as you said right at the beginning, you know, Eris certainly don't have any malicious intent, and you know, they've been an absolutely fantastic partner, as have many other ecosystem projects to LionDAO. So, you know, we'll be keeping a close eye on that.
Yeah, I didn't mean to suggest a malicious intent from Eris by any means, but they've been fantastic. But I think it would be interesting to keep an eye on that, and then also like what kind of incentives are in the governance amplifier on Eris that would allow people to continue to maintain some outsized portion of governance at a lower stake to what they might also be receiving through more. It's just an interesting kind. We're kind of in uncharted waters here. It seems like, oh, there are so many opportunities, and it's just how do they kind of conflict with each other a little further down the line, and thinking through all of that stuff, I think is kind of fascinating. But I only see benefits, and it's just kind of like comparative benefits, and thinking, you know, three chess moves down the board, like how things might come into play.
I think, yeah, and you're absolutely right, because as I say, that there are lots of benefits. And the only, you know, other than I mentioned the dilution of staking, but that's a separate issue. The only real negative to creating this, like utility for our token is that it opens up a potential for the first time in the history of the DAO over the last 12 months. It opens up a potential angle for governance attacks. And obviously, the very first thing that I did when I created the DAO, it was in the light of, you may have been around or not, but there was a Aqua token that had a few hundred thousand dollars of liquidity spread across Cosmos, but was able to be governance attacked on DAO through someone spending something like a couple of hundred dollars, right? So that was like a big embarrassment to DAOs on Cosmos. And the very first thing I did was to protect the DAO by staking 10% of the tokens to protect it. And what we've been doing over the last 12 months is slowly releasing more supply into circulation through OTCs, through liquidity incentives, through staking rewards, to the point where we were sort of 20 to 25% allocated in circulation early on, and now we're around about 45% in circulation now. So obviously, like by having that slow release, we've been able to kind of continue to monitor. To make sure that, you know, the DAO is secure, because we've built a lot of what LionDAO is all about around this growing treasury, and the last thing that we want is to open up that treasury to attack, because it's the heart and soul of what's been helping LionDAO to grow.
Can I ask a question? I see Backbone Labs here, and I know that they've been talking about B-Roar and that coming online at some point, and how that might become an alliance asset, if that's a possibility, if that would kind of counterbalance the weight that would be going into AmpRoar or more on Eris, and would that kind of provide ballast to kind of governance issues, do you think?
I mean, is that too theoretical? I welcome JG to the stage if he wants to come and have a chat and give us an update about B-Roar. I know he's been floating the idea for some time now. I actually don't know how our B assets vote in governance, or whether they do vote at all, or just leave it down to their validators. Obviously, like having an L1 asset where you delegate the tokens to validators versus having a DAO token compounding asset, very, very different, because if they don't vote, then there would be no vote at all. It's not like someone's going to vote for them. So whether it would balance out governance issues, I don't know. I guess like if they're in control of the governance of B-Roar, that might be a counterbalance versus like Eris, who put it out to allow people to have leveraged governance power. And then in terms of like B-Roar as an alliance asset in the future, I know JG raised it on our prop when we raised it, say, hey, can we hang around and wait for B-Roar? And I said to JG, and I had a chat with him, I said, look, I think the time for us to go for an alliance asset is now. I don't want to, I know you guys are really busy doing lots of cool stuff, and I don't want to be kind of really delayed by waiting for that. But given that we reduced our ask on alliance, maybe there's an opportunity for us to go back, if it's successful, for us to go back to Terra governance again and say, hey, can we either have some sort of dynamic split between the B asset and the AMP asset in the same way that Migaloo have, or can we allocate another small percentage to B-Roar? So I think there are definitely options there. JG's not requested to come up on stage, so he must be busy, but it'd be good to hear from him at some point where they're at internally. I think they're very busy doing their marketplace, doing mints, expanding to other chains, so I don't know where we are in the priority queue there. Oh, and he has I've baited him into requesting, so let's wait for him to come up on stage and see what he's got to say. Yo, JG.
Hey, congratulations. This is a pretty big day for the Pride. This is pretty amazing.
It's a great day for the Pride. It's a great day for Terra to be in the spotlight again. Lots going on, man. How are things with you?
Grinding through the working day. So I'll just give you guys a little update on like all the gravediggers and like everything that we're trying to do. One of the biggest things, one of the biggest challenges in this multi-chain world is this wallet abstraction layer. And a lot of us are using Cosmos Wallet Kit. And, I don't know if, I mean, I'm sure you guys have noticed, it's like kind of hit or miss. And they are extremely hard to get service from and assistance from. And so what we've been doing this last few days is we actually, we found a new abstraction layer with a team that's really, really, they are on it. They participate, they help immediately. And so these last 72 hours, Thomas has basically like stripped down the whole Wallet Connect, rebuilt it. And we're hoping to have this thing out in a couple of days. Now, if that is out in a couple of days, then we can start to add other grave diggers. That's the whole point of this optimized version of the site, which allows us to scale horizontally. And, for us, the grave digger would go to the Pixel Lions. They are the managing community in our system. And so there would be a revenue share, and that whole dynamic, which then just creates more economic activity on chain, between the DAOs, between the marketplaces, between And then that means that some of the roar also goes into the soul token. That means that all this stuff is now starting to connect and link up. You know, I'm pretty sure everybody in this room is going to be getting soul tokens if you've been shopping or buying NFTs at Backbone. You know, like, so all this is starting to link together. I really feel that, you know, this tide is starting to raise all ships. And, you know, if we play our hands right, I think we can really create something special again. So that's kind of where we are. We are really working like 16 to 18 hours a day, if not 20. I feel bad for Thomas sometimes, but he's definitely killing it. So we're going to get this out as soon as possible. And I'm hoping it's out in, you know, 72 hours so we can get to assembling the rest of the marketplace. But that's pretty much all I got. This is your guys' time. I can't wait to stake. You know what? I'm not even going to lie. I swore I would never make an AMP asset, but I'm so going to make AMP roar just to get these alliance rewards.
Come on, JG. That's water under the bridge now. We're all friends now, right?
For sure. I mean, we've always been friends, and there's nothing wrong with a little healthy competition, you know? Nothing
personal. For sure. Well, there's your answer, Llewellyn. JG's unwilling to commit on when he's going to deliver B-Raw. but hopefully, with these new functionalities soon, TM. But yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I'd actually completely forgot about the Gravedigger aspect of B-Raw and the value that it would bring to Pix Alliance to start accumulating some raw into their treasury as a result of like people utilizing the Backbone LSDs. So whilst we're on the subject of Pix Alliance, Llewellyn, what's the latest in Pix Alliance DAO?
Okay, first of all, we are at an all-time high in terms of NFT staking. I think we recently, maybe yesterday, I'm going to look now, we are over 87% staked the last time I... Oh, we're now at 86.9. Okay, so just shy of our all-time high for staked NFTs. And that's been pretty incredible. We are very excited about B-Roar coming online and being able to offer that as a reward to stakers, which is going to be really cool. The volume has really gone up, and there's an interesting conversation now about how the floor price has dropped a little bit. For the last couple of weeks, we were hanging out at around like 170, 180 Luna per Pixalion. And as Luna has gone up, that floor price has dropped because the value is remaining constant, but it costs fewer Luna to get that value. So that's been an interesting thing to see, that people have been lowering the floor price to as Luna has become more valuable. And I think encouraging people to keep the asking price of these NFTs up is, you know, people are going to make their own decisions about what's in their best interest. But I do think that as Roar goes up, as Luna goes up, we need to take into account that we value these NFTs and ascribe the correct value to them. And that is, I think, an increasing value as more people, as the collection is getting more attention, as LionDAO is getting more attention, as Roar is getting more attention, as Luna is getting more attention, I think that only speaks to where the collection can go. And we're also going to be doing some fun things. We're going to be working with Guppy to do a treasure hunt in the next couple of days. And I don't want to overstate any clues or anything like that, but that's going to be coming online. And I'm going to post about that on as representing both Pix Alliance and LionDAO. There's going to be a treasure wallet, and people are going to be assigned tasks from, I believe it's LionDAO and Pix Alliance. A couple of other Kujirans, I think, are doing one of the clue hunt things. And then after that, we're going to be awarding a or giving out the clues to a treasure wallet. So I'll leave it at that. Similarly, we are going to be working on we're going to be working on a new MUD. So those of you who participated in the Christmas one, we had a really wonderful game that I got a chance to work on, and Swiftwool was clever enough to design in Telegram, and that ended up awarding people an NFT and various tokens in a treasure wallet as well. And you had to go through the game to find clues in order to unearth this wallet. And we're going to be doing one that's a little bit bigger, and I'm really excited about. And we've got a couple of partners lined up with that. I'll announce the theme here. It's a sci-fi theme, so that's going to be really fun. So I've been writing away at that and trying to build out this world that I think people are going to really appreciate. We're going to try to do a little bit more multimedia things with it. So not to overpromise, but I think it is going to be really, really fun. And part of that is to celebrate the fact that we were able to take Pixelion's Interchain last month. So you are now able to, as everybody has seen, you're now able to transfer through ARC protocol the Pixelion from Terra to Stars. And soon that's going to expand to other Cosmos chains as well. But that's been a really interesting experiment. And the way that I was seeing it initially was saying, okay, this is an opportunity to get attention on a larger NFT platform than what we have on Terra. Stars is, I think it's demonstrably larger. So this is at least introducing us to a larger NFT community. And then really making a point to let people know that in order to stake and receive rewards for NFTs, they have to bridge that through ARC protocol back to Terra and then stake it on Enterprise and then start accruing rewards that way. So I think Enterprise is going to be coming out with multi-chain staking options, I believe. So that is going to kind of change our strategy a little bit, but at least initially the entire goal was to kind of get attention for Terra, get attention for the collection. Purchases are still going to have to go through Backbone Labs. So I think it's only additive. I know, months and months ago, we were talking about possibly moving the chain to another, or making, not moving the chain, but transferring some back and forth on different chains. And people were a little resistant to that because of the fierce loyalty to Terra, which, everybody here was in support of. But this, I think, is a really good solution to that because it's kind of where things are going. There's going to be a little bit more freeform flow to this stuff, but we are still creating a center of gravity that brings people back to Terra. So I think that's pretty much it. I don't want to overwhelm the conversation, but it's been really exciting the last, 2 months or so with Pixelions. I think it's gotten a lot of attention with GMC, with the Galactic Mining Club. We've gotten a lot more attention, and people have kind of bridged from that collection to Pixelions and picked up a bunch. We've added a bunch of new people, or at least unique wallets that I hadn't seen previously. So yeah, I'm bullish.
JG, you had your hand up. Did you want to say something before I jump in? I'll take that as a no. I think like we've created this really weird dynamic with the Pixelions. To get to the point of 87% staked is absolutely insane. I think like in a way it's kind of probably hindered the trading volume because there's only a small amount. What would that be, like sort of 650 of the 5,000 left on the open to even potentially go to the open market. But it has been nice to see volumes picking up as I don't know if you've had just one large holder exiting recently, Llewellyn or something, but I've seen a lot more trade volume, but yeah, at the kind of below floor price. level, which is really interesting. But I mean, we welcome all sales because it adds to the royalties revenue, which then adds to the Pixel Lions DAO treasury. I'm not sure exactly where you guys are up to, but I think, you know, we're probably in excess of 10,000 Luna at this point that have gone to Pixel Lions DAO through royalties revenue. So that's great to see that continuing to grow.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. That's I'm looking now at the treasury, but that sounds about right.
I think the cross chain, having a cross chain NFT is pretty. Like, I think we probably underestimate like how sort of revolutionary that is. I'm not a huge NFT person outside of Terra or Stargaze or Cosmos, but I don't know too much of NFTs being able to sort of natively cross chains. So it's kind of, again, like, I know Galactic Punks were technically first, but, you know, again, kind of lying down Pixel Lions, like pushing the boundaries of what's possible and trying to break things as we often do. So it's been really great to see that collection, to see us listed on Stargaze and have a few sales over there. And again, like if there was more liquid on the market, we'd probably see more trade action over there. But, you know, I think people are probably reluctant to unstake, reluctant to move over. I think if you did want to have a look at it, say you've got a couple of liquid Pixel Lions in your wallet. I think is it the pinned tweet on the Pixel Lions
exactly.
Twitter, which is a bit of a walkthrough in terms of how you do that. I actually need to have a look at that myself and give it a go because I haven't tried that yet. So I'd love to try that. But yeah, great to see you breaking boundaries there. And as you say, there was initially some reluctance to say, well, why do we want to be on Stargaze? You know, blah, blah, blah. But I think we've kind of, with the solution that's been come up with, I think it's really sort of quelled that concern that maybe Pixel Lions would lose their home on Terra, where it's just more of an outreach and expansion.
Yeah, I like to think of it that's their study abroad semester is going on at the Stargaze. But I also was really interested, and I don't think that this is fully materialized yet, maybe in a couple of instances, but I really see that there's a huge opportunity for or huge ARB opportunities to put something on Stars and have it whatever the value is very likely to be mismatched for what the value is in Luna. And you could conceivably, if we get enough attention on both chains or even either chain, you could be kind of moving them back and forth and finding those ARB opportunities. And that's something that I'm really interested in and I really believe is out there. I just haven't figured out how we capitalize on that yet or really push that to a point where that takes off. But I do think that that's an opportunity. And I know the first sale on Stars, or one of the first sales on Stars, was like 10,000 Stars. So it was for a lion that was purchased for about 120 Luna and then sold for 10,000 Stars. And between those two, I think that was a change of like, it was like $400 change. So, you know, we're still in reasonably attention getting amounts, but still on the lower end, but significant. So I think that if people are aware of those opportunities, there might be, it might expand.
Definitely. And then just to kind of finalize on everything that you'd summarized there, the stuff that Keeks has posted in the comments as well. Shout out to Keeks, amazing Pixel Lions artists. The work that you guys have done yourself, Keeks and Swiftwall on the stuff on the Telegram bot. You guys have created this awesome Telegram bot that kind of tells you floor prices. You can now buy Pixel Lions using the Telegram bot. And then the mud game that you guys created was incredibly creative. I'd probably say not enough people actually. I don't know if you've got any logs of how many people actually interacted with it, but it was basically an old school text adventure game that was Lion Dao themed, incredibly well narrated by Llewellyn, and very well put together by Swift Wall. And I definitely had a lot of fun playing around in there. I know we showed it to Coach Bruce as well, and he was really impressed and wanted to maybe try and do something with you guys around autism. I don't know if anything came to fruition on that, but yeah, I thought that was absolutely awesome, really unique. And when the next text adventure game comes around, we'll have to make sure we do lots of promotion of it, so that the work that you guys do gets the recognition that it deserves. There's an incredible amount of creativity coming out of the little gang that have got together around Pixel Lions, and yeah, love to see it.
We had a couple dozen people play in the Christmas one, and really, really encouraging feedback. So, and thank you. I did not give enough credit to Swift Wool for developing all of these really cool bots for the Telegram. I've not seen that in other communities until she built some of those out for us. And it looks like she's in high demand for other places as well. I know Galactic Mining Club, I think, convinced her to build out some sales bots in their Telegram, and some other communities have as well. So it's just been, it's really cool to see people pitching in and creating things and trying to, you know, I think it goes back to this conversation that we had early on, which was, you know, you can do kind of broad marketing to try to get the collection out there and have people pay attention to it, or you can double down on what has already made it unique, which is the community. And can we make things that entice and excite and delight and surprise the community that we have and organically grow it from there? And I think that that's kind of been what we've been achieving, and people have been stepping up and contributing to that. So, you know, the next phase is, all right, how do we broaden the pride? How do we invite more people in, but at the same time, still make this a place that people want to engage with and play around in and see things that they haven't seen elsewhere? So that's,
maybe we try and convince people who are hoarding 50 50 Pixel Lions plus on Enterprise to unmake one and send it to a friend or list it and try and get more people into the collection, because I think that it's almost like, as I say, it's almost holding us back that there's, you know, such loyal holders and stakers.
It's too gated.
I don't know how we can ever fix that through, other than through kind of maybe trying to convince the community a little bit to share the love. But very interested to see how Pixel Lions do. Obviously, they're staking, they're earning raw tokens, they're getting whitelists, they're getting other rewards from other DAOs. You guys have now just completely broken off and doing your own partnerships, and you know, there's some benefits to staking Pixel Lions or holding Pixel Lions that don't even necessarily extend to Lion DAO itself, which makes me a little bit jealous. And I saw you guys got the Goo Goo airdrop recently, which did very well. You've got a very good relationships with XXX DAO. Even JG's dropping his soul tokens to Skeleton NFTs and giving nothing to Lion DAO. I'll forgive him for that, but yeah, I mean, there's lots going on, and if the raw token continues to exceed expectations, I mean, that's only bullish for Pixel Lions who are receiving those raw staking rewards.
I don't want to cut you off.
Go for it.
No, I was just going to say, you know, one of the things too that we talked about really being important to the collection and to the community was, how does the collection continue to give back to the parent DAO? And, you know, what 1% of sales, 20% of the royalties go back to LionDAO treasury. And so hopefully as volume picks up, we'll continue to financially benefit LionDAO. I also, you know, I think of the collection as a bit of a marketing opportunity for LionDAO. Like if people encounter a Pixelion on Stargaze, if they see it out in the wild somewhere, it all ties back to Roar and LionDAO. And so I want to make sure, I know there was a very brief debate a few weeks ago in Telegram about, okay, should royalties still accrue to LionDAO? And I think the almost unanimous decision was, or sentiment was, that yes, absolutely it should. It's our way of contributing back. But, you know, we're going to continue to try to figure out ways to market LionDAO through, you know, adorable pizza eating cartoon lions. But like, how can we continue to grow the community that steers attention back to Roar, steers attention back to the DAO, steers attention back to Terra? And that's, I think that's our mission. We're essentially like a marketing campaign in disguise.
I agree. And I'm often using Pixelions when we're posting out from LionDAO. I think we've almost got like a Pixelion for every occasion. If it's a DAO vote, we've got the DAO voting trait. If it's something on Kajira, we've got a Kajira trait. If it's something on White Whale, we've got a White Whale trait. So yeah, we've got plenty of marketing opportunities and continuing to use those Pixelions in our own material. I see we've got Kalabi up on stage. Can you hear us, sir? I hope we haven't put you to sleep with our Pixelions chat.
Oh no, not at all. GM, y'all can hear me okay?
Yeah, absolutely. So Kalabi, so kind of a bit of a U-turn from the previous topic, but Kalabi has joined us from Afia DAO. And for those paying attention, we announced today that we'd done an OTC deal between LionDAO and Afia DAO. Afia DAO is a basically like an investment DAO based on Migaloo, I believe founded by Sebastian from White Whale. They're kind of like a much smaller membership DAO where you basically deposit assets into their treasury in exchange for tokens. And the idea being kind of similar in the way that LionDAO has been doing, but maybe on a more focused scale to build out their treasury and become an investment DAO. So I've got Kalabi up on stage to talk to us a little bit about Afia DAO, what they do and what their goals and aspirations are as we enter this partnership, a little bit in the terms of the deal. So we did this just before, annoyingly just before the Roar token pumped up another 20%, but we swapped 1.8 billion Roar for 4 million Afia tokens. They're currently doing a Seekers round, which is an opportunity for people to do exactly what I just mentioned, which is to deposit assets into their treasury in exchange for basically a stake in the treasury in their treasury and in their DAO by receiving tokens back. We did that at a 0.25 cent strike price, which the token is currently trading at, I think, at about 0.55 cents. So it was a pretty hefty discount on what the token's trading at. You know, we've become now stakeholders in Afia DAO. I think we've got currently about just short of 2% voting power in the DAO, and we're in the something like the top 15 holders. I believe, obviously it's up to their DAO, but I believe that they'll be utilizing their Roar to alliance stake and accrue Luna into their treasury. Without further ado, I'll hand over to you, Kalabi, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about Afia DAO.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it. Yeah, we currently just got the Roar liquid staked via Eris, and working on towards getting it Alliance staked. You know, sometimes in DAO land and putting up props, it's takes a little bit of figuring it out, tracking all the contracts down in the messaging. But we are, yeah, super excited to be part of this deal and this partnership, and really looking forward to where it's going to take both of us. As far as Ophir DAO, I mean, you about nailed it on the head. You know, we're a little bit more focused on picking up, at this point, Bitcoin, and also focusing on Kajira and other assets around the Cosmos ecosystem. We have 40 founders that we started with, and with an initial round. And now we currently have the Seekers round, as you said, at 0.0025, currently open for USDC with a 6-month vest. So we're building. We got a front end. We've got a website going. We've got front end people, back end people. We've got people doing governance props like me, a very active multi-sig, operational multi-sig. And, you know, trying to find best practices and trying to create partnerships.
What's the what's the long term goal for Ophir DAO? Do you see yourself like trying to get into like seed rounds in other projects? Like what's the goal? And I think maybe something that that Lion DAO raw token holders would be interested in hearing is how do you see like value accruing back to token holders?
So one big thing that is coming up soon, and this is just a current limitation of DAO, they are working on staking rewards, and we have currently done buybacks. We were doing buybacks for a while, and they are held in our mine sub DAO. That's where we hold all our buybacks, and we will once staking rewards go live, we will re-engage buybacks from some redirection of cash flow. So we will be rewarding as far as like one term of value accruals. Obviously, you get governance. And once staking rewards go live, we're going to be engaging that as well too. And then in terms of long term, I mean, what we're seeking out a base of like Bitcoin and looking at Apex assets in terms of like treasury growth. And ultimately, our goal is to, I think, you know, we want to beat Bitcoin in terms of like our metric. That's what we want to do. I think that should be a good metric for us. And then our long-term roadmap, and this will take some time, is we want to build a redeemable treasury where one unit of Ophir represents the equal portion of the treasury on the other side. And we want to make that redeemable. That is our long-term vision for Ophir DAO. And we're already starting talks about like what that would look like, how to maybe start to slowly implement it. But as you can imagine, with an actively working treasury, it's with idle assets, it wouldn't be as complicated. But if you're in LPs, or let's say you have some in Ghost, you know, querying that and building that, you know, it's a challenging problem, but I think it's a worthy problem.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting concept, because At the base level, I also think of like, as we've been building our own treasury, you know, I think about like, you know, raw token holders at the very base are sort of a partial owners of that treasury, and having some way of being able to redeem or burn your tokens in exchange for a percentage of that treasury is definitely like an interesting long-term ambition. Yeah, I mean, we're going about it a slightly different way. Through our initiation, we've been in treasury accumulation mode only. So, you know, just trying to get as much value into the treasury as possible to basically sort of bootstrap the floor price of the token. And then more recently we had our first share of treasury yield or I guess operational yield by sharing 50% of our validator profits with stakers. And as the treasury grows, I certainly would hope to replicate that sort of revenue share model with other treasury strategies that we implement as the treasury grows. giving people like a diversified staking yield in different tokens, and potentially kind of ramping down, although we don't have high inflation through staking rewards, but ramping down our inflationary staking rewards in lieu of diversified yield.
Yeah, and I think an interesting avenue, and this is not anything that we out of here have talked about, but between line down of here, I mean, joint venture capital, going out, if there's a team or something we want to engage or invest in together, I mean, that those could be interesting avenues where we come together and we're like, hey, you know what? We've been looking at this project. Hey, we've been looking at this project. And you could create an alliance DAO between them two with trusted community members, and you go after a joint venture like, hey, we want to back this together. And those are avenues that I think, you know, those will present themselves as this relationship just builds naturally and evolves. So, and I think that's kind of something we've been open to, is like, this is so, all the stuff we're talking about is just, it's new and it's not new, but the rails are all different. And the who can participate, that's what's different. And, you know, finding the best practices and trying to navigate this is kind of very cool and exciting. And to have someone like Lion DAO and your community be a part of that, I think is because y'all have done so much and come a long ways. So y'all definitely represent a light in terms of DAOs for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I think if you go back and people go back and listen to my aspirations for the DAO in maybe the first month after launching, you know, definitely want to look at opportunities for the DAO to invest in seed rounds in the future for new projects that are launching. How exactly we'd go about doing that, I haven't had the opportunity to think about it yet, but hopefully, you know, especially as we enter the bull market and projects start coming out of the woodwork that have maybe been delaying launches or delaying token launches, to see if there's opportunity to do that. I think that'd be a great revenue generator for the DAO, maybe giving people the opportunity to get into tokens at seed prices where they've never really had that possibility to do so before. Things like that we would absolutely love to do. And yeah, maybe doing something in collaboration would be a really good idea. And just in general, you know, it was a no brainer for me to enter this partnership. I think our fear of launched in a really sort of interesting way. Is, as I said, it's a much smaller membership DAO, but everyone who's in that DAO and holds the token has contributed to the DAO treasury, which is, you know, I'm not sure exactly the market cap to the treasury value, but it's not many multiples. So it was kind of a bit of a no-brainer for me, especially at the discounted rate. And I think it's a really good avenue for Lion DAO to take to take stakes in other DAOs, like Affair. And obviously we also I guess the deal with Sail DAO as well is a slightly different structure, because the main benefit to us from the Sail DAO partnership was to get liquidity on Osmosis, which has already been extremely successful for both Lion DAO and for Sail DAO in terms of volume, in terms of like raw outperforming Osmo. But then we're also like the second largest token holders in that DAO currently, outside of the Migaloo Foundation. So I think that's a really interesting route for Lion DAO to take to take these positions in other DAOs, and bit of a no brainer for me. And if there are any other sort of good opportunities that come along in a similar vein, we'll probably take them as well.
It's kind of like Alliance or Mesh Security. That's kind of how I all see it. It's like, you know, just these interrelationships and interconnections, and like as those bonds and those things kind of continue to evolve naturally, it's going to be interesting to see the organization structure that comes out of it.
Absolutely. Well, Kalabi, thank you so much for joining us up on stage. I guess just a reminder, if anyone does want to participate in the Seekers round, if you go to the Liondow Twitter page here, I think it, one of our last few tweets, we announced a partnership with Afia DAO, and we also linked to some information about the Seekers round. I don't know if you just want to kind of maybe finish up with, if anyone in the audience today wants to participate in that Seekers round, like what the steps they should take are.
Yeah, what I can do is in the comments to from our official release on Ophir DAO X, I'll post that there. The round would be this at the same price that we did the OTC deal with Line DAO, 0.0025, minimum 1K, all the way up to 100K, 6 month vest. So one time cliff, 6 months. And I'll post that in the comments. And yeah, you can either DM me or at me on X or Ophir. And we have a Discord. So those are all the avenues if you want to get a little bit more information. Yep, please feel free. We're here and happy to help any way we can.
Thank you, sir. And yeah, I think it's another good opportunity for anyone who does have some spare capital lying around to maybe look at that. I know we've had a lot of people in Liondow who, you know, one of the things that I've said about Liondow from the start is it's been extremely like surprising to me how many people have got skills that they can contribute to a project, but either maybe don't have the time to do it full time, or they don't have the connections to get into, you know, a larger project, but have been able to like volunteer hours and skills to help in progress Liondow. And you know, a Fear DAO is probably another good opportunity for those people to maybe get a little bit more involved in a DAO structure that's probably smaller in terms of membership, but with a similar vision. So definitely worth taking a look at.
Yeah, just one thing on that, if you don't mind, if I can have like just one more minute.
Go for it.
Yeah, this is also just, it's an interesting, exciting time because like, I consider myself mildly technical, but I'm not like super technical into the minutiae of programming. And I've been around since 2020, and this is the first time that I felt in general that like it's starting to feel like about anybody, if you have a decent idea and you follow through and you do some work, you can make it happen. And we are looking for active members. We do compensate people on the multi-sig. So, and we're trying to rotate people in and out and educate them on how to use DAO. So I just want to say my bit on that. And I think the same is true on LionDAO. It's like, if you want to do something, but hey, you feel like, man, I can't do smart contracts. It's just not true, man. Like that's changing. And that's what has to change to get us to the next leg.
100% echo those sentiments. I've always said from day one, there is, everyone who holds raw tokens is the team, right? There is no central team. You can be as involved in LionDAO as you want to be, or as not involved as you want to be. It's entirely up to you. And as Llewellyn described earlier, you know, people who've been involved with LionDAO have ended up getting kind of poached into helping out with other things, and maybe opportunities will come for those people as well that are more personally lucrative, who knows? But yeah, the floor is always open on LionDAO. We're open to ideas, we're open to governance props, we're open to, you know, having your input, whatever level that be and whatever skill set you've got. So and as always, a huge shout out to everyone who has participated in the growth of LionDAO. We couldn't have done it without you, and you are massively appreciated. I think I've got probably one more topic that I want to cover today, and then I'll open the floor. I mean, if anyone does have any questions or comments, like feel free to request and come up on stage. More than happy to have answer questions or have a discussion, or you know, recover any of the topics that we've already discussed. I think the final thing that I want to put on people's radar, and obviously they've been waiting for this for a long time, But we are in audit with Savannah Protocol. And for those of you, we've dropped plenty of hints through our comms and through our governance proposals recently in terms of what is Savannah. But I'll just give it a kind of quick 2-minute high-level overview. So Savannah is a collaboration with Big Labs. Big Labs are serial builders on Terra and elsewhere. They've got the smart contract skills that we don't necessarily have in-house at LionDAO within our massive team of anyone who holds raw tokens. They built a lock drop protocol for Terra, where projects or DAOs will be able to utilize that lock drop protocol to essentially raise liquidity for their tokens at launch. Obviously, since Terra 2 has been live, there hasn't really been any mechanism for projects to launch tokens on Terra, and you know, we found out ourselves that building liquidity can be very difficult, especially if you don't have the luck of the many great partnerships that we've had across the board. I mean, we had to fight really, really hard to get incentives on Astroport and build. I think our original liquidity when I launched the token was like $150 to the sort of like $350,000-$400,000 of liquidity that we've got today. So it's a lock drop protocol. So for people who have participated in the Astroport launch, the Mars launch, the Neutron launch more recently, it's very much in that vein where there's a certain number of tokens that are offered on the one side from the project, and then on the other side, anyone can participate and deposit Luna or USDC or whatever asset they want to pair with on the other side, and then that sets firstly some protocol, some initial liquidity for projects that are launching. But those token that those LPs are then locked for a predetermined period of time. Could be 6 months, 12 months. There could be multiple different unlock periods. And typically as well, there'll be like token incentives for people who participate in those lock drops as well, as there were in the previous examples of Astroport and Neutron, et cetera, that I talked about. So that's our phase one launch. In terms of revenue, there'll be a minimum 5% commission on the total amount of kind of native assets that are deposited, so the Luna, the USDC, or whatever's deposited on the other side of the LP, and that will be split between LionDAO and Big Labs as an ongoing sort of operational revenue, and then on our side, our commission will be split between the treasury and token stakers. So we'll probably do something similar to what we've done with our validator revenue, where we split revenue between stakers and treasury. And like to kind of think of that in terms of like scale. So I know there's a couple of like interesting projects that are potentially going to be launching soon. I know JG has expressed some interest in using it for the Sol token. We've had some interest in terms of the Aries token. And if you kind of imagine, okay, we'll say there's $1 million of liquidity raised on one side of the aisle, and that's, you know, a minimum 50K commission that goes to us as protocol owners. So you know, if we get some decent launches on Terra, we could see some very significant operational revenue coming into LionDAO to continue to grow the treasury and also diversify our staking rewards and boost our APR. Couple of other things. So that's our V1 launch. It's in audit, active audit right now. We had our preliminary report back, and we're making a couple of changes based on recommendations. And then our UI is currently in testing as well. And we'll be going to testnet very soon. We just need to provide some feedback and change some other flows to make it more to make it a better UI UX experience. And I think a massive shout out to Spearbot, who I see in the audience as well, who helped design a lot of the UI. We are absolutely blessed to have him as part of the DAO. In terms of like go forward, so that's our V1 release. It's going to be on Terra. It's going to be a lock drop function. In terms of go forward, so once we've launched on Terra, we've had all the smart contracts audited, it'll be very easy for us to be able to go cross-chain. One thing I didn't mention is that there'll be also be a choice for people who are launching whether they want to put their liquidity onto Astroport, Dexter, or White Whale. So we'll have a full range of options. It'll be very easy for us to go cross-chain then, especially to, you know, other other non-permission smart contract platforms, for example, Migaloo, for example, Neutron. So there's definitely like cross-chain opportunity there. And then in terms of functionality, whilst we starting with this lock drop function, because that's what we'd built initially, if we see some demand and we see some, you know, we see some revenue coming through, there are other opportunities as well. So for example, I know White Whale, for example, are really interested in having a an LVP function, which is kind of similar to a lock drop, but instead of the liquidity being owned by the participants and locked for a period of time, the liquidity ends up being owned by the project. So in, for example, for White Whale, who a project who launches on White Whale may want to split their liquidity between the different White Whale DEXs on different chains. That would be a function that they're really interested in. So that's something that we'll potentially look at building. And for people who may be not familiar with LBPs, White Whale themselves, the V1 Terra, they launched with an LBP. I think Angel Protocol also did. It's quite a fun, like gamified launch mechanism where you can actually sort of make profit and loss during the sale, during the sale itself. So quite fun. And everyone's kind of betting on where the token price lands. And then another thing that we've got in our roadmap is pylon style pools. So for those who don't remember Pylon Protocol, that was again a Terra V1 protocol, very very successful protocol. They were utilizing yield. They were utilizing Anchor yield. So you deposited UST into a pool, they deposit that in Anchor, and you basically use the interest that you were earning on Anchor to buy the tokens. So the interest went to the project, and in exchange, they gave you tokens. We can utilize this model, but using LSDs. So say you deposit AMP Luna or B Luna or ST Atom or different LSDs. They can potentially scrape off the auto compounding rewards that you're getting, send that to the project for their operational funds, and in exchange you get tokens from a launch. Similar to how how Prism V1, the Prism farm, worked. So basically we'll build it up to be a kind of multi-purpose, multi-chain launchpad mechanism, but starting on Terra and starting with LBPs. And I would hope that we're probably weeks rather than months away from having some sort of V1 out there. And if any projects that are listening or DAOs that are listening that are thinking of launching are interested in either testing or using Savannah as a way to build some initial liquidity for their token launches, then please do get in touch. That's everything I had on Savannah. Luan, you might be hearing some of that for the first time or JG. I don't know if anyone's got any questions on that.
No, it's just really exciting. It's really, really cool to see. And, you know, I was talking to somebody recently about LionDAO and just kind of like the growth from kind of an experiment to, you know, really seeking out new ways of adding value to the chain. And it's just really, really inspiring to see like, all right, what's a problem? What can we solve? And that kind of seems to be the ethos that is in this community. And I really, really love it.
Hey, ironically, I was talking to 7183 from Big Labs this morning about utilizing Savannah for Sol for part of the situation that we're going to do with the public sale and liquidity. So, and I think that we talked about that briefly, but that was like, you know, a month and a half ago. But that is still on the horizon. We are excited to work with Savannah and to continue to bring shed light to, you know, Terra builders that are expanding out into the cosmos. So this is exciting.
There you go, Alpha from JG there. I mean, as you know, JG, once you get into actually building these things out, it's very easy as a retail participant to sit on the sidelines and say when. But you know, you've got to, you know, particularly, you know, in the case of building out something that's going to hold user funds, you obviously have to be extremely careful that it's robust, right? Because what the last thing we want is reputational damage from pushing something out there because we're super excited to see it and then for it to fail, right? So getting the contracts right, getting the audit right, and then getting the UI UX right as well is really important, and it does take time, unfortunately. So we'd have loved to have had this out there by now. But I feel like I finally feel like the end is in sight now. I've seen we've got a UI up. It's not quite ready yet, but to actually see that, you know, being able to click around the site and press buttons and kind of envisage what it's gonna finally look like, and then also to have the contracts in audit, really starting to see light at the end of the tunnel now. So super excited to get that out there. And as you say, I think Lauren, it was you that said, you know, bringing utility to the chain. Like, yeah, I mean, like when Big Labs first brought this to us, because they're builders, they don't want to be out there marketing. They don't want to be sort of the at the user interface, and they saw like a partnership with LionDAO as something that would really work. And initially it was kind of like, oh, not sure. But then actually, you know, when we sat down and thought about it, like we thought, given the situation that Terra's in, and there's no way for any projects to launch, and the you know, there may well be a need for projects to launch. It seemed like a perfect fit to be a revenue generator for LionDAO, and also a, you know, an important utility for Terra and other ecosystem chains as well. So it was an absolute no-brainer for me in the end. And shout out to Big Labs. They're taking, you know, a lot of risk on their side from a cost perspective in building this out. And you know, I really, really want to make it a success for them as much as I do for LionDAO as well, because it takes guts to stick around. Sorry, go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a quick question about this. Is there a means by which you will be selecting the projects that are joining Savannah, or is there like an application process? Like, how do we screen for higher quality projects, or is it kind of a self-selecting thing where if they have to lock up for a certain amount of time liquidity do you know what I mean? Like, what are
that's a really great question, actually. So the initial design that Big Labs proposed was that to launch you would have to go through LionDAO governance, but to get the all the hookups for that to work felt like a little bit high effort for what it was achieving. And also, like, you know, I'm a big fan of decentralization as well, and putting as little barriers to participating as possible. I mean, in the same way that, you know, on enterprise, anyone can spin up a DAO, anyone can spin up a token, and off you go. That said, what we'll probably have is we'll probably have like a stopgap in between, like a like requesting, like try in between, like sort of submitting a request to do a launch pad, to do a lock drop on Savannah, and it actually going live in the UI. And what we'll probably end up doing is having like a verified and unverified section, for example, where there's ones that we know are legit that we've done due diligence on, and then there's ones that are just wanting to use the contract function. So we'll probably end up doing something like that. And then another option that we'll probably do is we'll probably have a tiered commission structure as well, where for a higher commission, we'll do some kind of, we'll do like some marketing packaging around launches. And again, if we were to do that with a project, it would have to be, you know, much more significantly vetted than say something that we just let use the contracts and not do any kind of associate marketing around. So that's what we'll probably end up doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. It would just seem so, like, in my mind, it could be anything. So it's good to, like, know what the parameters are and how, obviously, you all are thinking about, like, how to protect LionDAO from, you know, people who might try to game the system a little. You just seeing, like, all the different experiences on that cropped up over the last year on Enterprise.
Mm.
Where you had people who were clearly trying to, and almost laughably, ineptly trying to rug people. And then you had other people who were like really sincere about trying to build something, but were struggling to like raise funds and liquidity. And I think that will serve those kinds of communities, but also how do we protect from, you know, like the Queen DAOs and the whomever else that I won't name, like just like trying to latch onto LionDAO name and make a quick buck.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that we'll have to manage very carefully. I mean, we'll probably end up, you know, learning on the job to a certain extent. But we'll certainly, you know, whilst we may kind of allow anyone, we'll probably end up allowing anyone to use the contract function, but we'll just be very careful to say, this isn't a verified project by us, or, you know, make sure that we're not promoting, and we'll just leave it to the open market to decide whether they want to participate and take a risk or not. I think it'd be silly to really heavily gate Savannah, especially with, like, I think like enterprises is really interesting because theoretically anyone could come along at any time with a great idea and launch something and it'd be great, but you never really know. The proof's in the pudding, really. So I think we'll be learning on the job, but we'll just be making sure that, you know, we're not tying ourselves reputationally to anything that's trying to use the protocol that we haven't been through a vetting stage with. Cool. If anyone has any questions, probably last chance to jump up and request. But yeah, lots. We've covered a lot today. Been a great day for LionDAO from a token price perspective. It's been a great day for Terrace to be in the spotlight. Kalabi just unmuted himself there to give us some vibration. Yeah, great day for Terra to be in the spotlight again. We talked about the Afia DAO collaboration. We've talked about Savannah. We've talked about Alliance. I think oh, 37 minutes past one. I believe that the rewards for Amp Raw should be flowing as of 4 minutes ago. So if, I don't know if someone wants to jump on and check that, but yeah, the rewards should now be flowing. So yeah, lots and lots of positive things coming down the road. Obviously, we talked about Pixel Lens as well and the great work that Llewellyn and the team are doing there. So thank you to everyone. This community is awesome. Thanks for continuing to engage. We're only a few weeks away from the 1 year anniversary. The time has absolutely flown, and it's been wonderful to see like the growth of the DAO over that time. You know, there was a meme coin period a few months ago where things just seemed to come out of nowhere, and we're getting lots of attention. And I think what you've seen is, and what I anticipated is, that a lot of things that built without any foundation have disappeared off the radar and lost all their value, whereas LionDAO has continued to be strong through the community that we've built, through the treasury that we've built, through the income streams that we've built, becoming more than just a meme. So yeah, and we couldn't have done that without all the community and the support of the Terra chain and TFL and everything. So big thank you to everyone. If you've got any questions off the back of this, do jump in the Telegram as always. I'll be around for a little bit longer. But I think with that, we'll say good night, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these token knocks. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Click the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines, they call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats tearing apart your community, all these low hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10 stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few seats. And then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.